morning and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour live on Christian Radio, 1220 AM, as well as the World Wide Web, WHKWradio.com. This is John Bartlett, your co-host, along with Sheila Crawford, minister, teacher, and ongoing student of God's Word, and a friend of mine, I might add. And we are really glad you decided to join us tonight because we're going to examine the fingerprint of the Holy Spirit on Scripture and how that all intertwines. So be sure you have a Bible out and get ready to take some notes because you'll definitely want to share this one with a friend. But first, let's invite God to be with us tonight and to bestow His wisdom on His servants tonight. So Abba, we just want to thank you again for another opportunity to minister to the body and the body of believers. And Lord, we just ask that you comfort us in these last days and encourage us in these last days and encourage us from the things we learn to be better people for you, better witnesses for you. And I want to lift up those who've recently lost family members in the bombing tragedy. I want to lift up the wounded, the critically wounded, and their families. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just remove the veil that would be keeping any of them from seeing your sacrifice that you made on the cross for our sins. And may this be turned around for the good. That people would get saved and realize that evil is real, and that we're facing evil every day, and that you came to overcome evil, and that's why you made that sacrifice on the cross. So we just thank you, Lord. We trust that you'll do that. And for our listeners tonight, just bless them with understanding and a greater desire to live for you as well, and also their family members who aren't saved, that you would draw them with your Holy Spirit. And in the name of Yeshua, may all this be. Amen.
Amen. And shalom to you, John, and to all our listeners tonight. May God's grace and peace abound in your lives.
Thank you very much. I want to remind you, listeners, that the phone lines are open should you have comments or end-time questions. And that number is 888-677-WORD. Also, if you have missed any programs, especially about Mother of Harlots, and that we discussed this first quarter of the year, and wow, that Jesuit program was an enlightening hour, I do say. But you can go to the archives, shofarministries.net, to listen to any of our past programs, and they're all labeled as well. And hey, if you don't want to be on the air when you call us, just call in your question or comment and give it to our producer, Derek. And you know what? He'll just give it to us. He's a good go-between. He's good at that. But first, now, before we get to that, I think we got some news. Sheila, you're... Ah. Now, I know we got some news.
Yes, we do.
All right. Let's hear what we have to say about the terrorist attacks on Patriots Day, actually. Boston.
Yes, and it was also Israel's 65th birthday yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What words can we say? It's horrific.
I know.
Very sad.
Mm-hmm.
Especially that little 8-year-old boy, you know, blown up in front of his mother. Oh. I just can't even imagine that. And he was running to congratulate his dad, who had just finished running the marathon. There's 3 confirmed dead. And I'll tell you what, it could have been so much more. So
mm-hmm.
much more. 140, somewhere in that number, critically injured, and I guess 17 actually lost limbs or something like that. But whatever it is, it's just awful. But I understand 3 bombs didn't go off.
Mm-hmm.
Again, who knows for sure all that stuff. This is just, you know, the first day. They're going to be finding out a lot as we go on. But we do know it's terrorism. The ball bearings planted in the bombs, which is for maximizing casualties, were actually found scattered all across the crime scene as well as even in the pockets of the victims, and this is a familiar professional feature and telling evidence of Middle East terrorism.
Yeah, it was actually, you see that this was well thought through for intentionally killing and maiming people, well thought through, and they do that all the time. They sometimes nails, steel, scraps of steel, whatever they can put in these bombs.
They had to have at least 4 or 5 bombers on the ground and probably at least 10 accomplices and spotters.
And don't forget, you got to have the track phone.
Yes.
Yeah.
To set it off and all that stuff.
Because they say this is very much like the IEDs they encounter in Afghanistan.
And suspicion of a foreign hand was strengthened when the media reported that a Saudi national suffering from some severe burns was being questioned. Obviously, he was probably trying to figure out why it wasn't going off and burned himself or something like that.
Well, the accidents do happen, and maybe that will be one fortunate for those that are investigating this.
Yeah.
A lot of pictures were taken. Everyone has camera phones now, so surely all these cameras must show some evidence of something.
Well, not only that, don't they have cameras, like, everywhere in the streets? I know in New York you can't go anywhere without a camera on you.
Oh, yeah. They
you
do
know,
that.
And
uh-huh.
I think it's very similar, so you'd think that they start examining those and maybe see something.
Yeah.
I realize that it might be difficult without those many people. I mean, there's like 28,000 were actually running in the race. What wasn't a race? Running in the marathon.
Hmm.
From all the United States and also 90 different countries.
Yeah, this is a big event. It's a worldwide event and the perfect opportunity for someone to. Now, no one's actually come up and taken responsibility and done that yet. But you know, we got to continue to ask God to comfort those families affected and to speed up the physical healings of many others in a miraculous way.
Yes.
And most importantly, though, to turn this awful situation into salvation.
Right. Well, God can turn all things into good.
I know we can.
And I'm going to believe him for that.
Yeah, we're going to believe him for that.
But here's some better news.
That's good.
A chief doctor at the hospital where many of the patients are being treated credited Israelis with teaching his team how to respond to such disastrous attacks.
Well, how did that happen?
Well, about 2 years ago, they asked the Israelis to come to Massachusetts and help set up their disaster team so that they could respond in a correct and efficient manner. And because of that training, the hospital staff were well equipped to handle trauma on this kind of a scale. And the chief of the ER actually said this. He said, "This is just like a bomb explosion that we hear about in the news in Baghdad or Israel or some other tragic place in the world." And he's right.
And it's happening here. Well, let's move on to Korea. It looks like North Korea, we both were right about North Korea, and there's a lot of people worried about that, but it was just rhetoric, right?
Yeah,
the usual.
So far.
Yeah.
I thought that anyway, but North Korea, isn't very happy over South Korea burning those effigies of Kim Jong-un.
Mm-hmm.
And that infuriated him, and I just don't even know why South Korea would do that. But I just never thought that the timing was ripe for an Asian war right now.
Mm-hmm.
Not that Satan doesn't like war, so you can never really be sure of anything, but China would have had to get involved, and in my opinion, that's kind of reserved for the end of the tribulation.
Oh, the kings of the East, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although China says we are not, the United States isn't helping the situation because we've increased our military in the Pacific. Which I said 2 weeks ago I thought was strange of Obama, seeing as how we're cutting defense spending and he's ignored other pressing situations in the past. I don't know. I'm always, you know, skeptical. I think there might be another agenda going on that we just won't know about.
Yes.
Yes. But we need to stay focused on what we're supposed to do as the body of Christ. You know, you start worrying about all the wars and rumors of wars and all the things that happen. And then it's going to take your focus off of what we're supposed to be doing, and that is making sure that we have the power of the Word of God, because without the power, we can't witness. And stay focused and bring as many people to the Lord as you can. At least plant the seeds. And we're going to be talking about some sowing of the seed tonight, too, by the way.
Okay.
But anyway, I think North Korea just wants to draw attention to them as part of a probable deal that they made with Iran, because, you know, they've been secretly meeting. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're buddies.
Yeah, so they, I think, wanted to take the spotlight away from Iran.
Of course they do.
So that they can continue to enrich their uranium.
Mm-hmm.
But they just suffered its second earthquake in a week. And this one was a lot bigger, 7-something, and many injured. The final tally is just not in yet.
Interesting.
But it didn't hit a nuclear plant.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, what do they call those, centrifuges they have. There's many more of them than they thought.
Yes.
Hey, just to be clear, now that war of Ezekiel 38, that comes before the kings of the Far East, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. Again, that's still after we escape, as Jesus calls it. That's his words.
The escape. The Great Escape.
That's it.
The Great Escape.
You know, I know we're not done with the news, but I think we should just take a moment and let's read that scripture in Luke 21, verses 34 through 36. And the reason I do that is because maybe someone out there, as I have been, when I'm talking about the rapture, being called, oh, you're just an escapist, you know, in a negative connotation.
Mm.
And I always say to them,
not like Houdini.
You know.
No.
And I always say, yeah, that's what Jesus said. Pray you can escape. So let's just read that.
Well, maybe they missed this. I'll read this. But take heed to yourselves, lest your lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life.
Now, let me just make a comment here.
Okay.
As Christians, we're not out carousing, and we're not supposed to be getting drunk.
Mm-hmm.
But that cares of this life, boy, does that ever take precedent in a Christian's life.
Well, it does.
And Satan knows it, and he helps that along.
So we're not to let our hearts get weighed down with this.
No.
And that day.
That day.
Come on you unexpectedly. And we all know on this program what that day means.
It starts with the rapture and goes for 1,000 years.
So, in other words, if we are paying attention and watching for him, it won't be a surprise, right?
Well, he says it shouldn't be a surprise. He says, and that day come on you unexpectedly. So that means we're supposed to be paying attention, and it won't be a surprise.
Hmm.
Right?
Okay. That's right. That's right.
Well, in Luke 21, also complements the Hebrew 10:25 scripture that we use on this show a lot, that tells us to encourage one another as you see the day, there's that day again.
There it is.
Approaching.
So we can see the day approaching.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So stay focused, people, on what's really important.
Yeah, like time and his word, which always seems to get compromised with the cares of family and friends and that good old cell phone.
Oh, it really does.
Yeah.
It really does. The enemy loves that because then you will lack the power you need to take proper authority over him.
Yes.
You know that?
And you know what? We don't take authority over him. We say that in Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name.
That's right.
Yeah.
And he.
It's not us.
And it works.
It works. It's him.
You know?
It's him. Yeah.
So, I was going to say, you know, we think we don't follow the devil. No, I'm a born-again Christian. I don't follow the devil. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But in a way, his main goal is to keep Christians out of the Word. That's it. He doesn't care what else you do.
Yeah.
But if he can keep you out of the Word of God, he wins.
Yeah.
And so if you're letting the cares of this life separate you from the time that you spend with God and in his Word, like get that last-minute phone call before you've had time to turn it off, and somebody's saying, oh, can you help me today? I'm in desperate need or something like that. And you go, well, of course. And then you close the Bible up, and then you're on your way. You've got to really be careful. And if you tell people ahead of time, your family and friends that aren't saved and wouldn't understand, if you tell them, okay, this is the time that I'm going to be in my word, please respect that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have a better chance of it not happening.
Yeah, I think you do. But that's still Satan's job, like you said, is keeping us out of his word, because then that's where we get strength. And
absolutely.
That's where we get washed.
Yep.
And
oh,
we could we could explain that in many other
have.
Programs,
and
we have.
Have
but, yeah.
But let's finish that in verse 35.
Okay, let's... Let's see, why don't you do that one?
Okay, for it will come as a snare.
The day, right? The day. That day.
Well, and the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
On all those who dwell or stay seated or remain, the word is kathame, the ones that are left behind.
Okay.
On the face of the whole earth. Now, Revelation also calls them earth dwellers, but that's an idiom for the unrighteous that are left behind after the rapture. So when it says, for it will come as a snare on all who dwell, that word dwell, kathame, means to stay here or to remain.
Yeah, it means basically people are, that this is it for them. They don't believe they're in an afterlife, maybe, and this world is all they have. So this is where they stay.
Yes.
This is where they stay.
That's right. So to them, it will be a snare because they're not going to know about it.
Yeah, it will
okay?
be.
And that's all he's trying to say, that we should be expecting it. That's why he's giving us all these signs.
Yeah, we should.
And you've got to admit, we are getting a lot of signs. I mean, for someone to say they don't see the signs, I don't know where they're at. what planet they're on.
I know. It is. There are a lot of signs, and there's more every day. It's just amazing.
Yes. Well, and then let's finish up with verse 36, where he says, "Watch therefore and pray." Now, your Bible might say always, but always is not in the original.
Okay.
"So watch therefore and pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things, escape, that will come to pass, and stand before the Son of Man." Well, that prayer is the prayer of salvation.
Yeah.
That's what's going to count you worthy.
Yeah.
And let's read that out of the interlinear.
Okay.
It says, "Be watchful all the time."
Doesn't say pray all the time, does it?
No.
It doesn't say pray continually.
No.
Okay.
It says be watchful all the time. So that's the comma after that. I mean, you could say always, be watchful always, comma.
Yeah.
See, they just put the comma
in the wrong place. Yeah.
"Be watchful all the time, begging that you be counted worthy." Would you say the prayer of salvation? You're on your knees. You beg him to forgive your sins and say, "Lord, come into my heart." That's like a begging.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a
yeah.
longing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's all he's saying.
A pleading.
Wow. Watch for me
mm-hmm.
and make sure that you said the prayer of salvation. And then you can be an escapist.
That's good. And
yes.
We're all proud now to be called escapists.
Yeah, I'm going to get me a T-shirt.
There you go. Because our Lord and Savior was an escapist, we'll be one too. Okay.
Amen.
Now,
Amen.
Do you remember, didn't we start the news a while ago?
Yeah,
do you want
I
to
think
finish,
we should
the,
finish
news?
The news? Yeah.
We had a little study there right in the middle of the news. How about Syria and Israel getting involved in that?
Oh, yeah, of course. Well, the fire of civil war continues to be stoked on the Syrian border, a lot on the Golan Heights there with Israel. And it's actually due to increasing threats of chemical warfare, mm-hmm. especially in the area of Damascus. But President Assad of Syria has ordered all his troops now to wear suits and gas masks, with a warning to the rebels that they better not proceed any further or their death is assured.
Hmm. Wow.
So, now, with prodding from the United States, I'm told, Israel is actually distributing injections of atropine, which is highly effective for blocking many poisonous nerve agents like sarin, etc., and its effects like nausea, vomiting, abdominal cramping, and low heart rate. So Israel is actually giving atropine
to the rebels. Rebels, yeah. Interesting.
And that means they're quite involved in with the rebels.
Yeah,
and they were trying not to get involved.
Well,
but the United States are making them get involved.
Okay. Well, do you think Assad knows about this atropine being distributed by the IDF?
Absolutely.
Hmm.
And I understand
I'm sure he's not too happy about it.
Well, I understand President Assad not only knows it, but probably accounts for the Syrian decision for the first time in 34 years. To direct shell fire at an IDF Golani patrol last Friday. Now, thank God no one was hurt.
Good. Did Israel retaliate?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought they did.
They had to deter the Syrians from making this attack a precedent.
Mm-hmm.
Precedent. That's probably a better way of saying it, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, through artillery and a rocket, Israel return the fire, directly hitting a Syrian outpost.
Wow. Okay, so they let it be known that they mean business. Now, is there any way we really know for sure that the chemicals have been used?
Yes.
Okay.
According to the Times of London, soil samples were smuggled out of Syria, and they provided forensic evidence that the use of chemical weapons has been determined.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But they carefully avoided assigning any responsibility to either Assad's army or the rebels, who might be using them as well, through Al-Qaeda, who we've known for a while is suspect of possessing low-grade chemical weapons. So there's a lot going on there. And, in fact, I've been saying, don't worry about North Korea. I think you should be looking at Syria and see if how much more Israel is going to get involved, because this could start the Psalm 83 war that we know is going to happen before we leave.
Yes. So forget about North Korea. Don't worry too much about it.
I wouldn't worry about any of it, of course. God says not to worry. He's in control. All we have to do is stay in His Word, have the power, so we have the gumption to get out and tell them about Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we need to do that. We need to do that. And we need strength.
We do.
Yes, we do.
That only the Word can give you, really.
Well.
Amen.
That concludes the news section.
That concludes the news.
We can take a break here, Kat, and we can listen to a song.
Yes. You know what? I would love to hear that song someday. I haven't heard it in a little while.
By
Los Lobos.
It's
one of my favorites, and I don't have it at home. It's only here.
It's only here. Well, there you go. It's the this is the only place you can hear this song.
No, I'm just kidding. I could. But,
okay. Well, let's do that.
All right, let's go to break, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Don't change that dial.
Someday I will go home. Someday I will go home and I'll find peace in the house my Heavenly Father.
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. Love that song. And that song is Someday by Los Lobos.
Someday. We're going home.
We're going home. We're going to be with our Heavenly Father.
Yes, amen to that.
Amen. Do you have a question for Sheila? Or would you like her to speak at your church or group? Just email her at Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Or just call the office, as we like to say, 440 334-9006. An important reminder, your donation is still tax deductible, we think, this year. No, it is. Sure it is, right? And it's very vital to our Hebraic Roots ministry, where we teach prophecy using Hebraic Roots. Send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021, or use PayPal on our website. All donations put you on Sheila's informative newsletter list, so include your address, either email or house address.
And, of course, email is easier for me because you can print out your own copy and share with others or just forward to someone you care about.
Mm-hmm.
But do share the info, especially the mini gold nuggets. It often contains some great teachings, and they are also all archived on shofarministries.net.
And check out the webpage. All our newsletters and previous radio shows are archived, and you can order teaching DVDs there as well. Just a reminder, the lines are open. Numbers for your questions tonight, 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. The Shofar Ministries Hour is live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Why not recommend the program to a friend? Okay.
Okay. Let's go on.
Let's continue.
All right. Tonight's lesson, and we're going to be doing this next week as well, because there's no way we'll be able to finish it all tonight. But I want to show people how there's an integrated message system, okay, and that's the Bible, because it's got one author,
mm-hmm.
the Holy Spirit, many writers, but one author,
mm-hmm.
okay?
And it's, okay.
Well, for the last, you know, couple of months, we've been talking about the seven letters to the seven churches in Revelation.
Exactly.
And its prophetic significance, and we even gave which years,
mm-hmm.
okay? Well, it's interesting that the seven parables of Matthew 13, I believe, are very similar or have the same attributes as the seven letters to the seven churches. And I would like to show people that tonight.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, something that might be a little harder to see, which I will try to also bring in, that hopefully it'll just stir people up to study on their own, is that Paul also wrote to seven different churches. He wrote 13 letters, but four of them were to people. And then nine were letters to churches, and two of them were twice. So seven different churches that Paul wrote to.
And the two twice were Corinthians and Thessalonians.
Mm-hmm. So seven different churches. And you can see some similar areas to match not only the parables, but the churches in Revelation. A little harder to find, but they're there.
Well, you said the word attributes. You'll find the same attributes in the parables as you will find in the seven churches.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that it's in Matthew 13, and there's 13 attributes of the Lord of God that he gave to Moses. So
how about that?
How about that? Check that out in Exodus if you get a chance.
All right. Well, anyway, let's name the seven letters in Revelation.
Okay.
That we've already really talked about.
The seven churches?
Yes.
Okay, you're asking me to name them?
Yeah, would you? The first one?
Okay. Ephesus?
That's right. And then?
I forgot.
Come on. You did not.
Smyrna?
Yes.
Okay. Then Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Pittsburgh, and Laodicea. No, that's Philadelphia and Laodicea.
That's right. And they're all in order. In fact, mm-hmm. We already talked about what years they were, and we'll talk about that again.
I just gave them to you in order, too. Yeah.
Yes, you did. Okay, so we particularly honed in on the church at Thyatira that began with Pergamos,
mm-hmm.
okay, because we talked a lot about the Catholic Church and what was going on there. And Thyatira represents the first universal or Catholic Church, basically the first one world church. But this church allowed the spirit of Jezebel. Now, they worshipped idols, which is paganism.
Mm-hmm.
And Church of Thyatira gave paganism free reign, and basically still does today. But again, I want to compare them with the parables and also the letters that Paul wrote. Okay?
Sounds good. Sounds
right.
good to me.
Now, before we get into this, I'd like to name the seven parables. The first one
that would be helpful.
Was the sowing of the seed.
Okay.
The second one was the wheat and the tares. The one after that is the mustard seed. The one after that is the leaven. Then we have the hidden treasure. And then we have the pearl.
Yeah.
And then we have the dragnet.
And that dragnet is Jack Webb and Harry Morgan? No. That's a different dragnet.
Showing your age there, John.
I know.
See, I don't remember that.
You
don't. I'm just kidding. All right, anyway.
Okay.
All right, the seven parables of Matthew 13, I believe, coincide in order, I might add,
okay,
to the seven churches of Revelation 2 and 3. Interesting that, again, there are seven parables, and Jesus calls them the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven.
Wow.
Yeah. And, of course, all good scholars agree that the parables of Matthew 13 is about the church age.
And that was a mystery in the Old Testament.
That's right.
Yeah.
So if it's about the church age, and we know that that's exactly what Revelation 2 and 3 is, the church age, you could see why it might match.
Well, it does to me, and I'm glad you said that, the mysteries of the kingdom, he named them. These are mysteries of the kingdom. Now, that I've never heard that explained before, so that makes a lot of sense.
Yes. Also, and then, as I already said, but I'm going to be repeating a lot tonight because, again, this is bringing it in a little bit heavier stuff, but we will also look at the letters that Paul wrote.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, a different writer, but the same spirit, and see how they resemble the parables in the seven churches. Okay?
And that's where you get that integrated message
system.
And that's pretty remarkable.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first one of the parables is the parable of the sower.
Okay.
Okay? And which church, John, in Revelation, is that sowing kind of gung-ho church, the beginning church, you know, loved with all their heart?
Yeah. That is Ephesus.
It is.
That's the first church, and I think you told me Ephesus does mean beloved or something like that. The word does.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. And that must have started around 33
right.
A.D. or C.E.,
whichever
you want to call it.
It was the very first church and went to about the year 100.
100.
And then they started being martyred, but that's the first church. And again, this parable now of the sower, when you all read it, and you're going to have to read it at home, but this one actually gives the four kinds of results of the sowing of the seed, okay, four different ways.
Okay.
And it actually takes hold of the seed where it grows. So basically, there's four different seeds that are sown, and one is thrown on the, well, you know what, it'd probably be a good thing
to read
it.
Let's just read it, yeah.
Verses 3 through 9, that I don't have to remember it from scratch here.
Mm-hmm. You want me to read it, or do you want to read it?
You can go ahead.
Okay. So you told many things in parables. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he sowed, some seed fell alongside the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky patches where there was not much soil. It sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun had risen, the young plants were scorched, and since their roots were not deep, they dried up. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. But others fell into rich soil, produced grain 100 or 60 or 30 times as much as had been sown.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is that three seeds that were thrown never even got to where it needed to be.
No, they didn't. Did they?
Didn't grow
they
at
didn't
all.
Make it.
So the other one, the fourth seed,
okay,
so it's like one out of four if you wanted to get really technical. Although it doesn't say that, I'm just saying.
I see where you're going.
Others fell on good ground, and this finally yielded a crop. But even out of that crop, he divides it in three.
Okay.
Okay, and that makes total sense, too, because we've got some really gung-ho, number 10 kind of Christians.
All right.
Okay, and then we have some that are really cold.
Yeah.
And then we have some kind of in the middle or lukewarm.
Yeah, we do.
So it says here 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. If you were going to say degrees, just for the sake of saying degrees, 30 would be cold, 30 degrees.
Yeah,
you know?
It would be cold.
And then 60 degrees would be kind of lukewarm.
Mm.
And then,
so far, so good.
And then 100 would be really hot.
Yeah, that's still warm. Yeah.
So that's kind of a neat way of looking at it.
Yeah.
And I know Christians in all those categories.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so, I've actually been in all those categories at one time or another. But
and it's extremely interesting that one of the reasons that the seed doesn't root is because the birds come and eat it quickly, which Jesus himself interprets in verse 19 as being the wicked one or the demons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the first thing that, you know, you this is the analogy of when you say the gospel is preached, one out of four, it's going to do something.
Right. Right.
All right. One out of four, that fourth person that hears it, he's going to produce.
That's right.
Or she.
That's what it says.
And that's okay.
And I think what's also interesting, though, is about these demons, that when we bring someone to the Lord, it is so important to immediately get them in the Word of God every day.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, the birds will come and eat the seed.
I see.
But once you get in the Word and you get that power, then it takes root.
That's a good picture.
It's a very good picture.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem today is that somebody brings someone to the Lord, and what do they tell them? Oh, you better go to church as much as you can, be there every time the doors open, you know, and pray every day, you know, worship the Lord. Those are all good things, but somehow the Bible gets on the back burner. Do you know what I'm talking about?
That happens.
Yeah.
Probably more than we care to admit.
Well, the reason I'm saying that is because it happened to me.
Oh, sure.
You know, that's a long story, and I'm not going to go into that. But
now that I think
first,
about
that's
it,
what happened?
Now that I think about it, that happened to me too.
Sure. So anyway, that's an important thing to remember.
How could it happen to you when you were you started out in the Catholic Church? So you had some church all around you, and you still missed it.
Yeah, because I didn't know to read my Bible.
Ah, okay.
But anyway, let's get back to this.
Okay. Yes.
What church now did Paul write to? Warning of the wicked ones in high places, so to apply the armor of the word. And he also talked about the marriage and espousal love, that first love, and then related it to Christ in the church.
Well,
it's an easy one.
Yeah, the armor of the word gives it away. That would be Ephesians.
Of course it is.
And that was the church of Smyrna, right?
Huh?
Or, I'm sorry. No, Ephesians. Ephesians. No, okay.
You're jumping ahead. So basically what we've got here is we've got Paul writing to the Ephesians. We've got the parable of the sower that talks about the beginning, sowing the word and stuff. And then we have also the Revelation book of Ephesus.
Ephesus. Okay. So, that's all matching up. Okay.
Yeah. So that's an easy one, actually.
Okay.
So now let's go into
now we get
the second one. You betcha. This is in Revelation also.
Yeah,
chapter 2.
This is the second one mentioned, Smyrna, and this started at around 100 and went to 312. I'm talking A.D. or C.E.
Yes, A.D.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and that's, of course, when the church was mostly persecuted
and
until
of course,
312.
And myrrh is an embalming spice, right?
Fitting for a church that gets persecuted and martyred.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Highly paganistic era, too, during this time. So, therefore, these very strong Smyrna Christians were extremely persecuted.
Yeah, I think of the Roman torture and, you know, in the Colosseums and so forth.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have the suffering church here. Now, excuse me, what Pauline letter told them to remain faithful to the end, to overcome so they won't be hurt by the second death, and whose central theme was joy of suffering, and that to die is gain. And remember, in verse 29, I believe, it says, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe, but to suffer for his sake." Do you know what?
Well, when you say to die is gain, that reminds me of Philippians, and I think that's where...
The joy of suffering.
The joy of suffering.
Yeah. So
well, the joy of suffering is that the Lord's right there with you.
That's right.
And that makes, you can go through anything with the Lord, seriously.
Well, that's what I know.
Yeah, it looks bad when you see someone else go through, but when it's you, he's right there with you. I've heard people say that.
I know, I have too.
Yeah.
I have too,
I mean, people who have been tortured.
Thank God.
That he
well,
was
he says
there.
He won't give you anything more than you can bear.
Yeah. And the worse it gets, the more he'll be with you.
That's right.
I really believe that with all my heart.
I do too. So now we have the church at Smyrna in Revelation. We have the church of Philadelphians that Paul wrote to. Now there is the next parable, which happens to be the wheat and tares.
Mm.
And that's where, in other words to me, he's saying, don't worry, eventually I'm going to get rid of that wicked one that's causing these problems, causing you to suffer. So, and the devil does make us suffer, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
That's
yes,
right.
He does.
So he basically says in the wheat and tares to, well, why don't you read it? I'm going to have you read verses 36 through 43, because that's where Jesus explains the wheat and the tares.
So this is still chapter 13, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then he left the multitude and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the tares in the field. He answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The tares are the sons of the wicked one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil.
There you go.
The harvest is at the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. As the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, libelousness, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear.
That's right. And isn't that the same thing he said to all the churches in Revelation 2 and 3? He that has an ear, let him hear.
Let him hear. And that's what we're saying to you tonight.
So basically, I'll have to admit there are some Christians that suffer more than others. It's just the way it's always been.
Mm-hmm.
And all he's saying here is just like Paul said to the Philippians, hang in there. It's coming a time when the enemy will be destroyed, and that's what this is all about. So now we have, again, the church at Smyrna being a very suffering church, and then the Philippians also, and the hope of the wheat and tares that, don't worry, someday it will all be over.
That's good. That's good.
Okay. All right, now let's go on to the third.
Third church, okay.
And, well, the third parable is the mustard seed.
Okay.
Okay? And the mustard seed was the smallest of seeds, and it really should only be a bush. But it gets too big, and the birds make their home in it. So it's pretty simple.
That's Pergamos, right?
That's Pergamos, because Pergamos introduces and encourages the wicked paganism in the church.
And it also means mixed marriage? You said that before?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, okay.
It does. Because they're mixing the paganism into it.
Mm-hmm.
And this happened in around 312 when Constantine brought in the paganism. And he actually moved the throne from Babylon to Pergamos. And that's why in verse 13, Jesus says that's where Satan's throne
is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's Pergamos, and basically it matches the mustard seed because basically what I think is the church shouldn't get too big because as soon as it does, you have problems.
Yeah, that's true.
You
and
really
of course
do.
The birds make their home in it.
That's
birds
right.
are always scripturally representing.
Well, they are in the parables for
sure. In the parables, they're not good. They're devils or demons or whatever you want to call them.
Now here, is there a church now that Paul wrote to? That was a carnal, worldly church. He called them fleshly. They had problem with incest. They misused the gifts. They had false prophets, and he even warns them that Satan can come as an angel of light. Do you want to think about that?
I don't have to think about that. That's Corinthians. That's the church at Corinth.
It is.
Yeah.
So do you see that integrated kind of message there, the mustard seed, Pergamos, and Corinthians?
Yes, I do.
Great.
I really do. Yeah, that's
right.
Cool.
So I think we can do another one.
Okay, let's the fourth church.
Yes, the fourth church is actually, do you remember which one that is?
It is Thyatira.
It is.
And that means continual sacrifice, and we're looking at this church that started at 606.
Right, that's when actually the Pope started, and we talked a lot about that over the last few months.
Well, I have Thyatira in my Bible. I have it marked over there Catholic Church.
Oh, you changed it to Catholic Church?
Well, I changed it to universal. Not quite. But Catholic means universal, but I did say
it
universal.
It does. But anyway, in the Church of Thyatira now, we've got the full-blown hierarchy, the Nicolaitans. They were supreme. You had to have a priest to do, you know, forgive your sins.
They put themselves over the people. Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And it was the only church, actually, until the Reformation. And then there was some that left. But it is still here today and quite large.
Yes.
And going to get larger.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, so now we got the Church of Thyatira. Now there's a parable that is the fourth parable, and it's the parable of the leaven.
The leaven.
Okay.
Well, leaven's always a picture of sin, isn't it?
It is. And some people don't agree with that, but I happen to know that it is. It's also false doctrine,
mm-hmm.
and it's interesting because it's hidden at first. Okay, you don't notice it like in a loaf of bread?
Yeah.
And then it starts to grow.
Oh, I notice.
Till all of it is leavened.
That's true.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So now, in the parable of the leaven, you notice that it's a
woman
that
hides it. Mm-hmm.
And this, of course, corresponds with Jezebel, which is talked about in the Church of Thyatira. Okay, that woman that they tolerated.
Of course.
And she's a picture of paganism.
That hails back to the story of her and Ahab, King Ahab, the wicked king in Israel.
They were married.
Who plotted to illegally take an innocent man's land from them.
That's right.
And they set him up and they imprisoned him, I think, and they had him killed, too.
They did.
It was bad.
You can read about it in 1 Kings 21.
Yeah.
But then, of course, this brings to mind the Inquisitions of the Dark Ages.
Yep, because they did steal land.
That's right.
They stole a lot of it.
But these Nicolaitans, basically the laity is better than the common folk. You need a priest for everything. And again, the forgiveness of sins as mediator. And also the Pope is theologically infallible. Now, that's incredible. That's like saying that he's God.
Pretty much. And very heretical doctrine right there. So we got Thyatira, the church.
That's right.
We have the fourth parable.
The leaven, the sin.
Okay, now what's the corresponding book?
I'm supposed to ask you that.
Well, I don't know.
Okay, let's
you
say
ask
this.
Me that, you might not get the right answer.
Let me give you a clue. It's the church that deals with false doctrine of works rather than grace alone. And remember, a little leaven leavens the whole lump.
Okay, that's an easy one. That's Galatians.
It is. Okay, so we have that as well.
Another one of Paul's letters of the seven that he wrote to churches.
That's right.
That's really cool.
Now, I don't know if we have time to get one more in.
And we can't do all seven, but couldn't we get five, maybe?
Well, I don't think. How many minutes do we have, Derek? Maybe three. All right. Well, we'll just try and we'll just review it next time as well. Mm-hmm. Okay. Number five, in about the year 1517, we have this group of beautiful people that broke away from the Church of Thyatira.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called
Sardis,
which means
remnant or the escaping one.
That's right.
And it's still here today as well.
Oh, yes. It's still here. And, but again, it broke away from the powers of pagan Rome, that political church. It's called the Reformation, yes. Unfortunately, it missed the Holy Spirit, and they really lacked looking for Jesus in prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
He even tells them in the church at Sardis, he said, "Be watchful, or I will come upon you as a thief."
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, if we're watching, he won't come as a thief because we're going to be expecting him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
But they're still not looking for him. They don't even want to know prophecy to this day.
No, they really don't. They really don't. So, who did Paul write to, really explaining doctrinal issues like the church at Sardis was all about? You see, they were all into doctrine,
mm-hmm.
but they lacked the Holy Spirit, the power of that.
Okay.
But they were all into, well, you shouldn't get dunked, it should only be sprinkled, or, you know, I mean, all...
Oh, and baptisms. Yeah, they were actually the denominations. That's where we got all the denominations.
That's
from.
Right.
There's so many of them.
Splitting over silly things, and... So what church did Paul write to that was really talking about doctrinal issues?
That would have to be Romans.
It was Romans. Again, the beginning Protestants were very formal and systematic. And because they were not watching, he's going to come as a thief to them And Revelation 3:3 tells us that.
All right. And now the parable that corresponds. We have time for that.
Well, I believe the fifth parable then coincides. That's the hidden treasure, because it's that group that left the field or the world or the one world church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the farmer sold all he had to buy the field, so to get the treasure that was in it. The price has been paid, and of course that's Jesus, just waiting in escrow for him to come and take over the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about that again next time and finish these.
Oh, okay.
But I hope that people will actually do their own study now and go over it and finish it and see if they can't figure out the last couple of them.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, the seven churches and the seven epistles and the seven parables.
That's right.
Matthew
okay.
13, Revelation, and the rest of the Testament. Okay. Is Jesus Lord of your whole life, listener, or do you just have the head knowledge of him and not really a heart conviction? It's easy. Just receive him. Get on your knees. And do repent, of particularly of those individual sins that are lingering in your life. The ones you can't get, they're getting the better of you. And, you know, he'll be right there to welcome you. Excuse me. And then commit or recommit your life to Yeshua, your Savior. Remember, it's always your choice to choose where you want to spend eternity. God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where your soul goes. Your soul never dies, and it has to go somewhere. And there's only two places. And then,
right.
Once you do that, go fulfill the Great Commission.
That's right. Don't waste your life away. Because of Jesus' resurrection, you can live forever.
Amen. And we're going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing, as we always do tonight. From Numbers 6, 22 through 27. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'esem lecha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Be here next Tuesday at 8 p.m. We'll see you.
Sha'alu shalom.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@shofarministries.net. That's Sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.